Well, it's a joy to be here this morning, and we're continuing our series in 1 Corinthians, the message of the cross and the wisdom of the world. And Joseph's message last week was insightful, it was powerful. I also liked his title, Get the Leaven Out of Heaven. So I was inspired to also come up with a rhyming title. Don't fight, resolve it right. Don't fight, resolve it right. But if you're not sure about that title, I actually have some other options for you. How about End the Dispute? It bears no fruit. Or Your Quarrel is Immoral. Too harsh? Maybe not. I've got a couple more for you, almost a rap style. Don't sue, forgiveness is true, and love is the glue. Ooh. Okay. Better reaction than practicing at home. One more. Litigation is frustration for the church's reputation. Don't attack, hold back, and give each other some slack. Okay. Actually, you know what? I think I'll just stick with the title. Don't fight, resolve it right. Okay. So here's an overview of what we're going to be talking about this morning. First, we'll look at the problem. And the Apostle Paul is addressing a specific problem that's impacting the church of Corinth. And as usual, there are underlying attitudes, motives, and misunderstandings. And because of this, we can all learn from this text and directly apply it to our lives, regardless of whether or not we have experienced the specific problem. We speak Jesus over this church collectively and individually and invite the Spirit to transform us. We're going to talk about authority. Authority and our identity as the Lord's people. Authority and our witness as the Lord's people. And authority and our conduct as the Lord's people. And although we're breaking these ideas down into points, they all intertwine and interconnect. Authority, identity, witness, and conduct all connect. So what is the problem? What is the specific situation Paul is addressing? And the problem stated very clearly in verse 1, in verse 4, actually again in verses 5, 6, and 7, really throughout the whole passage. There is a dispute, and it's a dispute between believers, those inside the church, those who claim to love and follow Jesus. And this is important to understand. It's the Lord's people who are fighting with each other. It's not expressly stated what the quarrel is about. There's a few clues. The phrase cheat and do wrong may suggest that money is involved. But really, it doesn't matter what the specific issue is. That's not the point. The point is that there's not only a dispute between the Lord's people, but it's gotten way out of hand. Instead of handling the matter inside the church, it's been taken into the world. One brother is taking another brother to court. It's a lawsuit. And Paul clearly condemns this action. Look at the language he uses. Verse 1, Do you dare to take it before the ungodly? Verse 4 and 5, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? I say this to shame you. Strong language. And everyone is responsible, not just the individuals involved in the lawsuit. The shame is on everyone because the community of believers, the church, the Lord's people, is allowing this to happen. There's a song called Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. I believe it's a country song. It's a tough title, but it does end well if you listen to the whole song. And if you were going to write a country song about what was going on in the Church of Corinth, you might call it Looking for Authority in All the Wrong Places. What about us? Today, in our context, where are we looking for authority? Who do we look to? Are we looking in all the wrong places? What about social media? Is that our ultimate source of authority? What about advertising? What about looking for authority based on fame or power or money? What about outward appearance? Any Dr. Seuss fans in the house? And then, okay, yes, they came out. Phew. Dr. Seuss wrote a short story called The Sneetches, and the star-bellied Sneetches were the best Sneetches on the beaches, simply because of how they looked. I mean, though, after all, they did have stars. Are we sometimes looking for authority in the wrong places? Do we forget or perhaps fail to fully live in the truth that God has the authority, the ultimate authority, the final authority, the authority that is above and beyond any other authority that we know or can imagine? And we are the Lord's people. We have authority. Authority that is under God's authority, absolutely. But authority that is distinct and different than worldly authority. We have authority because of our identity in Jesus Christ. Paul uses and repeats the phrase, "Do you not know? Do you not know? Don't you know who you are? You are the Lord's people. You have authority somehow, in some way. You'll be part of judging the world, even angels. And if you're going to judge the world and angels, aren't you more than capable of handling these kinds of disputes? It's basically a no-brainer. You have more authority than is needed for these matters of ordinary life. Don't go to the world for judgment. You've got it backwards. You're going to be judging the world. Do you not know? You have authority. You have a different perspective, a different hope, a different confidence, a different humility. You know that Jesus is coming back. You know that Jesus will make all things new. You don't need to get bogged down in the concerns and difficulties of this life. Take hold of your identity. You are children of the Most High God, and you have authority because of your identity in Jesus Christ. Our identity in Christ matters. You might even say, in some ways, it's all that matters. The understanding and perspective that Jesus is returning and that we will be with him. It makes things different today. It changes how we react when people do us wrong, when we are insulted or misunderstood, even if we were sued or someone threatened to sue us. Our identity in Christ changes how we respond to fear, to loneliness, to difficult relationships, to financial hardship, to sickness, to depression, to anxiety. You are loved in Jesus. You have authority in Jesus. You are free in Jesus. And if you haven't experienced the love, the freedom, the hope, the life in Jesus, abundant and eternal, living water, Jesus is reaching out to you. Just ask him to come into your life and change you. We are the Lord's people. We who are in Jesus, like branches in a vine, who have answered the knock at the door of our hearts and invited Jesus to come into our lives and change us now and forever. Notice that it's a collective identity, not an individual identity. It's the Lord's people, plural, a collective identity, holy, set apart, given authority through our identity in Christ, empowered by the Spirit to share the love of Jesus with the world. And because it's a collective identity, when one person stumbles, it affects us all. Paul is again concerned with the witness of the church. You can almost hear the heartbreak in Paul's voice, or is it outrage? Verse 6, one brother takes another brother to court, and this in front of unbelievers. Paul goes on in verse 7, the very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you've been completely defeated already. You're concerned about winning the case, but you've already lost because your witness to the world is so terrible, so unattractive, so shameful. In fact, what you are doing is so shameful, it would actually be better to be wronged or cheated. I don't think Paul's advising us to run out and go looking to get wronged or cheated, but he's saying that by comparison and in the light of Christ's return, getting wronged and cheated would be so, so much better than what is happening. Our witness as the Lord's people is crucial. It matters how we conduct our affairs inside the church. It acts with people outside the church. It's eternally significant. Our witness as the Lord's people. Where does this really hit home for you? How do you react when someone cuts you off in traffic? What kind of tip do you leave at a restaurant? Maybe even if the food is bad, then what kind of tip do you leave then? What if you have a long wait in line somewhere? What then? What if you disagree with the decision made by the staff here at church? What if a neighbor agrees to share the cost of a fence and then won't pay you any money? That last one, the fence one, actually happened to us, but it was Karen who went over to politely ask for the money. And when the neighbor wouldn't pay, she said, "No problem." And she took the time to understand his perspective. They had a great chat. She even got a tour of his garden. It was bridge building. I'm quite sure I wouldn't have handled it that well. But there's always room to grow. What is our witness? The authority that we have in Jesus is on display for the world to see. Infighting and arrogance is not attractive to the world. It's not attractive to anyone. Love and forgiveness. Now that's attractive. And that's Jesus. Love and forgiveness. Not as an abstract concept, but a practical reality, even, especially, when you are wronged or cheated. To those in the church, to those outside the church, love and forgiveness. In verse 8, Paul does address the conduct of those who are doing the wrong, of those who are doing the cheating. And you might need to peek into verse 9, but Paul is basically saying that you're not behaving in a way that's fitting for the kingdom of God. Your conduct does not match the authority that is available to you in Christ Jesus. When we look at verse 5, Paul's language is strong. It seems sarcastic. But I want to shift the focus away from Corinth to us. And I want to say that there should be, and I'm going to declare confidently that there are people in this church who are wise, who are able to judge disputes. There are men and women who strive and work for reconciliation. And I bless you in the name of Jesus. I thank you. I respect you. And I pray that more will be added to your number so that Jesus Christ will be magnified. Don't fight. Resolve it right. But even deeper than this, let us understand and demonstrate our identity, our witness, and our conduct with the authority that we have as the Lord's people. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much that we're your people. We are yours. I still find that so hard to believe and sometimes hard to live in, but I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for your love and your care, Lord. I ask that you would stir in our hearts, even now, during this soaked time. Show us where you want us to go, who you want us to reach. I pray that we would be able to rest safe and secure in your love, that we could rest in Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.